Next on the state board business is committee and meeting reports. There's an opportunity for members to provide information and written reports made available on e-board on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. Anything would like to, anybody would like to share further? Deb Stevens, step right up.
Well, I definitely want to share out what I saw and the sessions that I attended while at the NASB annual conference as your representative last month in Louisville, Kentucky. I was very much impressed with the program that NASB scheduled for us on the first day, which was a visit to Wagoner High School, a high school just outside of Louisville in Jefferson County. And what made this high school very, very different and unique was the fact that they were offering their academic programs in academies, what they called academies. And so as you came into the high school as a freshman, you were part of the freshman academy and got to explore what academies they had available for you for your sophomore, junior, and senior year. From there, you could branch out into the Health Science Academy, the Information Technology Academy, and the Law Academy. And what was outstanding, we had a presentation by the administrative staff to begin the program, and they described the school, gave us a little bit about the demographics. The school had 930 students approximately. And what they found notable was that not only had they diminished chronic absenteeism because of the way they were divided into academies and students were eager to be at the school, they had closed the achievement gap. And I found that to be just truly, truly remarkable that they were able to do that. The students were the ambassadors that day for the program and took us through the school. So we had an opportunity to go into the robotics laboratory, which was part of the IT or tech pathway, and see what they were working on in the robotics lab. We went into the pre-law room or their courtroom, and I provided you a picture of the courtroom that they had there, which quite frankly looked better than some of the courtrooms we have in our county offices. It was impressive to see this courtroom. And we had an opportunity to go into the pre-nursing program section, which quite frankly looked almost like a hospital with numerous hospital beds, electronic dummies that the students could work on and be prepared for pre-nursing. When these students graduate, and Nisha, I found you also mentioned it in your report, they graduate with a diploma plus. So not only do they have the diploma, but they also have the opportunity for college credit through dually credited programs or certificates that various programs offer. It was an amazing school. The students there loved the programs. I had an opportunity to talk with one young lady. Her name was Suri, and Suri was in the pre-nursing program. And I said, so, you know, you're interested, you want to be a nurse? She said, you know, no. She said, I discovered through this program, she says, don't get me wrong, it's a great program, I loved it. But she says, I discovered I'd rather go into psychology after completing this program. And yet she felt confident enough that what she had learned at this school had provided her with enough confidence and background to make that decision and move on to college into a program of psychology. I was really impressed with the school. One of the suggestions was that they start moving the thinking about these academies into the middle school, into the eighth grade, that some of the students said, you know, that even before getting to that ninth grade academy, they'd like to have the opportunity to learn a little bit more about what's offered at Wagoner so that they are better prepared. Wagoner does bring the eighth graders over so that they can see the school before they attend. It was an exciting, exciting school to see. I've also listed for you some of the other programs that I was able to attend. And you can see a lot was still what we had talked about last year, addressing chronic absenteeism. You know, still a problem, but we got to hear more about the efforts nationwide that a lot of states are making in reducing chronic absenteeism. We heard from Missy Testerman, who is the National Teacher of the Year. She was truly just absolutely inspiring and outstanding. We also had a very good discussion with a panel on implementing AI in state education agencies. And I found it interesting that just this week in the news, there was an article about schools really trying to grapple with what to do with AI and talking about how the Department of Ed had given some guidelines. And so navigating the guidelines and coming up with district policies as to what age AI should be. At the business meeting, I've included for you that Byron Ernest was elected as our new chair-elect, and Kevin Ellis will be the elected new board chair. And they must have liked what I did last year, so I was elected once again as the Northeast Region representative on the nominations committee. So I will be serving for you on that next year. This sort of fits with the next story. I had an opportunity last month to go and visit with Corey Hafer, who was the 2024 Teacher of the Year. And again, seeing project-based learning in the classroom. While I was visiting with Corey, I was able to interact with student groups that were working on a variety of projects. We had three young ladies working on a project on how to reduce flooding in a floodplain area. And they shared with me how they had gone out. They had conducted interviews with homeowners as to getting an idea of the nature of the flooding and, you know, giving some thought to, you know, the science behind it and what could they come up with to reduce the flooding. And so they were looking at a planting program, trees and other things that they felt might help in reducing the flooding in that floodplain. Another student decided that he wanted to create a jungle gym for chickens. Now, Delaware being a chicken state, I thought this was rather an interesting project, but I did give you a picture of it there. You can see the chickens out in the yard where they house some of their animals, and the plank that goes up to the chicken house or the chicken coop has a bar, I don't know if you could see it too clearly, that extends across, and the chickens jump on the bar and sort of wiggle while they're on there. So they get their fun, plus they get their exercise. So he was rather excited about that. A third group was building bottle rockets using laser cutting devices to create the fuselage and so forth. And they were going to be launching their bottle rockets in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, again, there was excitement, there was interest on the part of the students. And I think that's the type of learning that really gets kids coming back to the school every day because they're working on something meaningful. And so I think that needs to be an integral part of any program that looks to reduce chronic absenteeism. An interesting meeting I attended as well was the Reading Consortium Wilmington City Council Town Hall. That was a particularly informative meeting. Senator Lockman and Representative Porcha had spoken along with Jay Street about the timeline for the work of the Reading Consortium. But what was interesting was an in-depth discussion as to why a high school in Wilmington would not be feasible. And this was something that I was not aware of in terms of the monies, the city wage tax monies that do not come towards education. And so that essentially, as they explained it, to have a separate district here in the city of Wilmington would not be affordable, not with the way the money is currently structured. And so that was, I think, an important piece of information that I had picked up at that meeting. I will be eager to see how their work has progressed at their upcoming meeting in December. And then finally, at the beginning of this month, I was here at this building, had an opportunity to see their lovely auditorium for the second annual Equity Summit, which was held here. They had an absolutely dynamic speaker, Cornell Brooks from Harvard, just wonderful speaker talking on equity. I've included a picture of him as well as the drumline that was here. And I'll tell you, the youngster, I don't know if you can see him too clearly in the picture, but the youngster who really stole the show was the little guy in the back with the great big drum. The drum was almost larger than he was. The drum line was exceptional. They also had dancers that came in that were part of this school's dance group. And it just, you know, it was a wonderful day, wonderful conversations, wonderful breakout. I hope we see more people at this Equity Summit next year. It was a small but powerful group, but I'd love to see more people coming here to be part of it. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Sage, did you have something going today?
Yeah, earlier today, Ms. Smith, Mrs. Stevens, and myself, we hosted the students of Maurice Pritchett, the eighth grade students, to help kind of learn more about the issues that kind of trouble the students that maybe the administrators aren't exactly aware about. So earlier today, how we structured it was we broke the students into groups, and then we had each group tackle kind of a different group. So for the first group was focused on mental health and kind of how students feel about their mental health and the resources that they have access to at Maurice Pritchett currently. The second group was discussing college and career readiness, whether students feel they have appropriate resources for like beyond high school for their plans. And our third group was the one that I led, and it was the one focused on how well students feel that they can make an impact in their school and whether they think that their voice matters. So overall, I think it was a great event because I definitely learned a lot of I got a lot of input from these students that I never would have guessed. Like, there were some things that they told me that were absolutely shocking. Like, for example, a couple of kids told me that they have no way to check their grades. So they don't know if they're failing a class, for example, until they get their report card back. And I thought that was actually like crazy. And one of the great things that came out of it was that there was already plans. Like right after our meeting concluded, there was plans to start creating a student council for this, for Maurice Pritchett. And I think that it'll definitely help these students because there aren't many of them. Like, it's a fairly small class, relatively speaking. I think about 60 eighth grade students, and about half of them are represented here today. But I think that overall, like, they're very smart kids, like, for sure. Like, I can't remember being that kind of hyper aware for the issues in my school when I was just that young, only 4 years ago. But I mean, yeah, there were definitely like a few students that stood out with how much they knew about what was going on and how much they were able to speak about how they can change it. And it was a great experience, honestly. That's about all I have for that.
Great. I'm glad it went well for you here today. This is the interaction we do want with our students, our student member and our students in schools when you go in there. But great, great work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Can I just add to what Deb said? I was there at the conference with Deb and Kathleen. And as you know, it was hosted in Louisville, Kentucky. And I think the Kentucky education system has gotten it right. I think their academies are successful for a number of reasons. But I think a lot of that is because their Department of Education works in conjunction with their State Board of Education. One of the things that I really liked that they did that I would love for us to do is the state of Kentucky presents a unified message across every school, the entire state. It's, is it Unified We Learn? Unified We Learn is their messaging. And so that is everywhere. The other thing that stood out to me is, I'm not sure develop the priorities or if they develop them in conjunction, but the Department of Education's priorities and the Board of Education's priorities are in alignment. And I think that's really important. And then the other thing that I really liked about Kentucky is they, and I did not know this was a thing, they have defined what is a portrait of a learner. And basically what is a portrait of a learner is a framework for leaders and educators. And it helps them to prepare students and design curriculum. It's basically a description of what these students are going to look like once they graduate from a Delaware, like for example, a Delaware high school, right? What kind of skills do you want them to have? How do you want them to be educated? And I think that's something that maybe we should do. Should that come from the State Board of Education? Should that come from DOE? I have no idea. But I think that we need to work together to get that done. But these are all the things that I think the academy that Deb was talking about, the reason that those academies are successful is because of collaborations like this and initiatives like this. The only other thing that I wanted to circle back to is Kathleen does a great job every Friday of sending out these weekly roundups. And so this past Friday, I thought was interesting. She sent a link to an article that talked about 20 other states that are currently working on profile of leadership, profile of learners. And it just, this article just reiterates the powerful relationship again between Board of Education and Department of Education. The only other thing I wanted to say was Deb talked about the successes of the academy and how they address some of the issues in education, like chronic absenteeism. One of the things that resonated with me is the academies create a sense of belonging for the students. And so it makes the students want to come to school. And I think that is a huge role in reducing chronic absenteeism. So that's my big high level report on the NAZC conference, which if you ever get a chance to go to, I think you totally should. It was totally worth every minute of it. There was a lot of information there.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Dr. Powell, you got anything?
I want to ask the question to Sage as a follow-up. So it sounded like a very impactful session that you had today. Where does that information go from here? The gleanings, the learnings, to make sure that the young people know that their voices were heard and some of the aha moments that you get. So where does that feed up to, you know, as opposed to like next year? How do we follow up and support the young people to say, look, we heard you, and there's some implementation as a result?
Yes. So after we finished our kind of our meeting today, it was only about an hour long. Throughout the meeting, there were like administrators or school faculty just kind of helping us out with technical stuff and listening in on the students. And I think that they came to a consensus and maybe kind of contacted higher ups in the administration, because like right at the end of our meeting, they announced that they were going to create a student council for Maurice Pritchett, which is kind of surprising that they did it on the spot. So I think that as soon as that's created and put into place, then the students will kind of take over, because now they have kind of an outlet to express their emotions, their feelings, and what they want to be changed. I think that'll definitely help for this school specifically to help like evoke change, especially like in all of the areas that we're talking about today. And I mean, it's always important to have students in some kind of position where they can convey their desires or what their discomforts to adults, because like school should be designed to make students comfortable and help them learn the best. And I think that as soon as the students start feeling kind of oppressed, like some of them are saying today that they can't really communicate their feelings because there's not really a place to do it. But I think that now they have a student council, that'll definitely help kind of get the word out to higher ups in the administration to create change, at least for the school.
So can I ask you a question? These students, when you said they don't know they're failing until they get their report cards and they can't check their grades, is that because they don't have access to, they don't have a way to check their grades, or is it because, why is that?
So I don't exactly know why. From the information that the students told me, they are not able to create a password to log into Home Access Center, which is the platform that all schools across the state use for, or most schools at least, use to check grades. And then I asked them, do your parents, like, does your family have access to the grades? And they said no. And then they said that whenever we try to ask the teachers to see our grades or to see what we got on tests and stuff like that, they don't show us. And I was sort of curious as to why that is, because it seems very Yeah, it just seems odd.
Here to say that is odd as an educator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I have nothing else to add to my report other than one congratulations to a group of hockey players from Del Mar. And yes, Del Mar again has been brought up. This is their ninth state championship in a row. Outstanding coaches, outstanding players. They're teaching these young ladies how to be strong, how to be leaders, and how to win and be successful in the future. But had to bring that up. It's only nine times in a row, folks.
Wow. Well, being that we're talking about sports, I'd like to congratulate the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association. So DIAA is, a branch, if you would, of DOE, and they're responsible for all of the state championships. And there are a lot of volunteers, current coaches, retired coaches, and officials who serve on these tournament committees that do an awful lot of work behind the scenes for great student athlete experiences. And so to Dave Baylor and his team over at Colette overseeing DIAA, I thank them. It's you only hear about DIAA when something doesn't go right. And I would argue that, like a really good official, a really good athletic association, they're there, but you really don't know it, right? They just take care of everything, so it's focused on the students.
Great. And that's great. It has been very quiet with DIAA recently, and we appreciate that. All right, next on the agenda, Executive Director's Report. Ms. Smith, do you have any updates for us?
Throughout my report also is the wonderful experience that I had at NASB as well. And I'll jump on the Wagner bandwagon about how wonderful that school was. It is a high school of over 900 kids. And what I found most heartwarming was when the students spoke of their sense of belonging. And it was not only just because they had a little bit more of a focus with what they were studying for their future, but because of the way that they were made to feel by their administrators and by their teachers. They felt valued and they felt seen. And when we were listening to the student ambassadors, and it was one of the principals that was in there and said, "We make all students college and career ready," and the whole room of students said, "One wildcat at a time." Mm-hmm. And they really presented that unified.
And that wasn't staged.
It wasn't staged.
Yeah, it was good.
Sense of belonging is what I took away from that. And the kids were talking with us individually as we were touring and telling us what their pathways were and just giving us details about how they came to feel that way. So it was very heartwarming. And also our December meeting is December 12th. So that is the second Thursday. I did want to put that on the record as well. December 12th.
Excellent. Any questions for Ms. Smith?
Ms. Smith, you mentioned the Wilmington Learning Collaborative meeting, the 14th you attended. And I was looking forward to a report tonight since we were in, Wilmington and in Maurice Pritchett Academy. And I was kind of disappointed that we weren't able to get an update. I know there's a lot of stress and a lot of moving parts, and I know they're doing something recently. Is there a way we could follow up perhaps and get a report in the future? Might not be here in Wilmington, but I think the collaborative has been doing a lot of great things, I'm hearing. There are some opportunities, there's some challenges, and I'd like to hear from the executive director where we are, even if it's at a preliminary level. I would like to have that reported out to us. I was really looking forward to this yes. meeting.
Yes. Yeah. But she did offer to share her slides, even the slides that she had shared at the collaborative meeting last week. But you're right, it would be more impactful if she could come and narrate those and meet with the board. So if you'd like, we can try again.
Yeah, I would like there's more staff people I think that they brought on board. And so I know that they're expanding, had to get their feet on the ground, but I'd like to kind of hear, see where we as a community can support and help them also.
Absolutely. Good point. Thank you. Okay, Secretary Holodeck.
Thank you. So you have my written written report. I would like to share with you some information about our transition priorities. But before doing that, after hearing Dr. Ladhavia's experience at in Kentucky and some of her thoughts, as well as Dr. Stevens, I'll share a few thoughts. One is, I do think there's an opportunity for better synergy between the Department of Education, DOE. So maybe afterward we can have some conversations about how to make that happen. What does the governance model look like in Kentucky compared to Delaware? I've shared this with a number of people having since becoming secretary. I've been very surprised. Well, first of all, let me share. I got in about midnight last night from Phoenix, where I was at the Council of Chief School Officers convening. So that is all the state secretaries or commissioners, we have different titles, convene a couple of times a year. How one ends up overseeing public education in each state differs. Mm-hmm. So I'm appointed by the governor in many states. It sounds like, I don't know this as a fact, but I'm pretty sure the majority of folks who sit in this seat are selected by the State Board of Education, right? And so, you know, I think there's always opportunity for collab, but governance does matter and who you report to, and how the state board is selected differs from state to state. Appointments in this case, in some case states, they are elected, right? And then finally, believe it or not, there are folks who are in this seat who are also elected. So I'll use an example. Georgia's Secretary of Education is very, you know, I hope he doesn't mind me calling him this, but he's a politician. He has to run every 4 years on a platform. And so it just varies greatly. But at the end of the day, number one, I don't see this changing, right? So how do you grab, you know, the low-hanging fruit and create the kind of synergy you're talking about? I have some thoughts, so we'll have to meet about that. And then, Deb, what you just described in terms of that experience at the school sounds very much like an experience I had about 2 weeks ago at Polytech High School. Uh-huh. So they are one of the recipients of the Sapphire Award, which is excellence in counseling. So I went for that and to give them their award and hear exactly what they're doing at Poly. There are five school counselors. But Paul Herdman was also there. Rodell's board president was in, and the three of us were given a tour, as I've done before. I had a tour a couple of years ago with the governor and a number of others, looking at their pathways. And I would liken pathways to academies. And in fact, I don't know that it really matters whether they're called academies or cohorts or pathways. It's really creating a sense of belonging, number one, in a group of students, and having a program that's, wrote this down, interesting, engaging, and relevant. And a program in and of itself doesn't do that. You also have, you have to have the instructors and the school leaders that demand those kind of hands-on experiences that we're talking about, right? But it doesn't happen without the vision and the model, right? So it's all very, very important. There are, so we are one of the few states that requires pathways. In my opinion, pathways is the real opportunity in Delaware when, no matter what we call it, our North Star surrounded by the characteristics of a graduate, or, you know, the portrait of a learner. Again, just, they're catchy phrases, but at the end of the day, the state board, the secretary, you know, the legislators, and all the school districts, charter schools, all understand this is what we're looking for. And graduate. Mm-hmm. So that kind of cohesion's really, I think Rodell has done a lot. I know Rodell has done a lot of work in that space and could probably be helpful because they've done some previous work in terms of their, you know, vision plans. So yeah, I would like to see us dive a little deeper into that kind of work. Mm-hmm. And then finally, in regard to transition planning, you know, we have a new mayor, and a new governor who will be, you know, taking the reins, if you would, come mid-January. And as I'm sure you've all seen in the news, Governor Meyer is building his team. And all the cabinet secretaries have been responsible for putting together a transition document, and our point on that has been Lisa Henry, and we've, you know, submitted it. Here are, you know, the big priorities that the good news is I think they align with your vision as a board anyway. So these are not in any order of importance: chronic absenteeism, our high school assessment, our state assessment, generally speaking, Smarter Balance, but especially the SAT. There are going to be some real important decisions to be made on that, thanks to Kendall and the charter leaders, but giving me a great deal of feedback that will be, you know, shared with the next administration. Early childhood, which is incredibly complicated. I think I may have mentioned this in our last meeting, so forgive me. But, you know, to no surprise, during one of the presidential debates, the one education issue that was sort of debated and one of the few things agreed upon in the debate, presidential and vice presidential debate, was early childhood and the disaster that it is across our country. Progress being made in Delaware, but not quite fast enough. You've heard tonight about early literacy. You know, we passed a series of bills now 3 years ago around the science of reading, and you know, you heard how regulations are starting to come into play and what's required of educators and even higher ed. One that you're not as familiar with, prison education. We're one of the states where the Department of Education is responsible for prison ed. Real challenges there. I mean, significant challenges in terms of recruiting and retaining people to do that work and being able to meet the needs of adults in an incarcerated facility. It's just really, really challenging. And then finally, the Wilmington Learning Collaborative, along with the PEC recommendations, we've, in my opinion, got to follow through with commitments to increasing compensation for all educators. And then, you know, the Education Funding Commission, which I'm a part of, you know, heavy lifting with that commission for a number of reasons, probably the biggest being we're not as a state done with reassessment yet. We have one county that's done, one that's about to finish, and then one that'll, my understanding, is finished up in 2025. And so it's just really, really complicated. But those are priorities that I think the next administration needs to be keenly aware of and probably provide some time for all of us to sit down and talk through. So I just wanted to share that with you so you're sort of up to speed on what's, you know, that's, it's a pretty big binder. I wouldn't give you all of the contents of it and put you to sleep. But, you know, those are the priorities that I think you would want to be aware of.
Thank you. Any questions for Secretary Holodeck?
No, I appreciate sharing those priorities. And I was waiting to hear something around school formula, funding formulas. So I guess that last Public Education Funding Commission,
correct,
is a part of that, because that was been a campaign,
yeah,
promise. And so that's,
yeah,
that's a lift. It's a lift in itself. We talked about that last month.
It is. It is. It's an opportunity when in my opinion, when you have a new administration, you know, this is the opportunity to say this, you know, I campaigned on this, so we're going to get this done. And really push the envelope some. You know, I think it's safe to say that it's the unexpected things. COVID, as an example, the pandemic, you know, it went from pre-pandemic where you have a vision as, you know, an agency and you know, all of us to just trying to get to get by and then rebounding. So I'm pretty excited for the next administration to see what they're able to do.
You'd mentioned a new mayor, you mentioned a new governor, and there's a new president. And then there is conversation in terms of education. I don't know if the department or if we're looking at the narrative that's talking about either dismantling the Department of Education and or defunding some of the initiatives. As that narrative is circling from a national perspective, how are we positioning ourselves? And I know it will be a heavy lift to get that politically done and so forth and so on, but there's still going to be some impact at the state level based on the new administration's promise or platform. Yeah. So are we looking at that as transition also, or what that could look like, or, you know?
Well, considering it just happened, we're just starting to look at that, Reverend, meaning, you know, the presidential election, there is concern about the future of the Department of Education. To your sort of last point there, it's easy to say you're going to, you know, sort of get rid of or disband the Department of Education. It's an agency, and that would require an awful lot of votes. So I'm hopeful that won't be the case. I think what's more likely is that the Department of Education, like a number of other agencies, will probably change and probably be shrunk. And I do anticipate that states, including Delaware, will lose some of its federal funding. And very concerning that it's at the same time that, you know, it's our ESSER monies going away as well, right, that districts have relied on. So it will be important for DOE and the State Department, the governor's office, everyone, legislature, to be keenly aware of, you know, our resources and how we're using them. That's as I sit here tonight, that's the best answer I have. It is timely that you asked it, because having just been at CCSSO and heard from our federal liaison who is spending time on all of this, I mean, while we were there 2 days ago, the announcement was made about Secretary McMahon. So it's all happening in real time. And her vision for public education is going to be vitally important. And we have not heard that yet. Meaning what that vision, what her vision is.
No, thank you for your candor. I just know that it's going to require alignment. Alignment, you kind of talked about that, but it's going to require some federal alignment, our delegation federally and state and local. And so that, you know, it's in case, because the least and the lonely are going to be impacted the most with regards to the funding that's been appropriated from the federal level. So however it shakes out, we need to make sure that we guard and protect and support those who are most vulnerable in our community.
Yeah. On a final note, I did have the opportunity to hear the National Teacher of the Year speak. She's from Tennessee.
She's great.
She was amazing. So there was something she said that I put into my phone that I have to share with the group because it really moved me. She said, you know what we need more of in education? Talent scouts, not deficit detectives.
Yes. I wrote that down too.
It was pretty moving to me.
Yes, I thought so too.
Yeah. So anyhow, and on a positive note, she's pretty inspirational.
I thought so.
I do have one question for you, though.
Sure.
Somewhere in the priorities, given that the committee that was meeting on school climate and discipline just submitted their recommendations, will that also be included as part of the priorities? Because it would require, I would think, some action both on the part of the legislature as well as the Department of Education to address some of the issues that were surfaced in those committees, some of the recommendations. And I think it ties in directly with the ongoing concern around teacher recruitment and retention, that if you don't have a supportive school climate, then there's less of a chance of retaining educators and also, you know, creating a effective learning environment if you lack the discipline for those students that are there to learn. And so is that finding its way into the priorities as
it's,
well?
It's finding its way into the binder and the many priorities that I think fall under the ones that I provided. The recommendation or the report by the committee had not been completed before we submitted the binder. With that said, there will be transition documents around all of this. And I think it's safe to say that there were legislators that were involved in that committee that will ensure through legislation and other means that they remain relevant and priority. Yeah.
I was going to ask the same thing. The two things that I wanted to know, if how easy it would be to make its way into your list of priorities, or is there, can you give it some consideration, is teacher recruitment and retention. It seems like all the regulations that we've been working on address this issue. And also something that addresses student well-being, because that's also something, as you said, we've been working on and talking about.
I think we can, I think number one, they are priorities.
Yes.
And we can elevate them
yes.
in the conversations during the transition for sure.
So how are these priorities determined?
So our cabinet, sits down out of each of our working groups, submits, the priorities, and then it's vetted by me and Cora, our chief of staff is involved, obviously. We send them, there's a process for the governor's office to weigh in. If you're wondering, are the state board's priorities included? The answer is yes. That's where me and Lisa Cora come in. Based on the meetings that you have, I think it's safe to say all of these are priorities of yours. If there's one I missed, let me know. It sounds like the one that you might be wondering about is recruitment retention. Again, the things that you're mentioning are all included. In fact, I worry a little bit that the transition documents are so thorough that it can be, you don't want it to become a paperweight on a desk, I guess is the point. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary Holodeck.
Sure.
Oral public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Ms. Smith, is there anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Kendall Massett from the Delaware Charter Schools Network.
Okay. So I'm going to save the fun stuff for the end. All right. But my first is that I have a request of this board, specifically Reverend Powell. I'm hoping you can help. If you don't know, the city of Wilmington is considering only 100-foot buffer between a school and where you sell marijuana, which would be right there. It affects our 7 charter schools that are located within the city of Wilmington boundaries, which is almost 4,000 students. We were able to help with the rest of the community get rid of the 100 buffer. Now they're considering opting out of retail marijuana. We are writing letters in support of that effort to opt out of this. I ask that the state board consider, we're members of, as persons that aren't members, but you know what I mean? Because you need to do it by December 2nd, so you might not be able to vote on it to do it formally, but they need to hear that it's not okay to have marijuana drug stores, regardless of whether it's legal or not. When we're telling our students drugs are bad, and then down the street, 2 blocks over, selling drugs. So we've been fighting on that. To be honest, I know more about drugs and zoning than I really ever thought I needed to. Two last things. One, go visit MOT Charter School, K-8. They've got academies. You know how they choose them? Just like they do in Harry Potter. Super cool. And they do have all of those belonging and inclusion. I would expect that you could probably find a number of our schools, district and charter in Delaware, that are doing the things that you guys saw in Kentucky. And I'm sure Kathleen, somebody at the department, can find them for you. And last, if you did not know, the 2024 DIAA Division II state champions in soccer, Sussex Academy. Year two times in a row. See, I came with something fun and awesome for you. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. First, I'd like to thank Maurice Pritchett Academy for hosting us tonight. Great program here. And thank you for the history lesson, Reverend Powell. Good to hear those kind of things. Kind of makes you, brings it home for me anyway. But anyway, is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
LaJavi, I make a motion to adjourn.
LaJavi has made a motion. Is there a second?
Reverend Powell, second.
Powell, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It is 6:31 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, folks, for coming. Safe travels.
Thank you, Mr. President.